Ephesians. We've been looking at the subject of glory in the church and kind of just doing a verse-by-verse, a little bit of a study in the book of Ephesians. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and I believe that he's got some pretty good secrets as far as bringing God glory, the Lord Jesus, bringing God glory by the Lord Jesus. The Bible said in verse number 19 of chapter number 3, "And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." I can't speak for you, but I'll speak for me. I've never had much of a problem being filled if I could get emptied. I don't believe the flesh wants to be emptied. Amen? And in order to be filled with Him, we've got to, that's why Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. The old man, what the songwriter said, is dead. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege, Lord, to come back to church and the privilege to open the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight we'd open our hearts to the Word of God. And God, tonight that you'd say something through us, our Father, that might be an encouragement to these precious people. Lord, I pray you'd encourage Brother Junior's heart tonight. Lord, no way that we think that Jeffrey would go home that quick. Lord, in the condition he was in, Lord, it was a blessing. I'm thankful, Lord, that you know what we need even before we ask. God, you said to ask. Lord, we ask you tonight to help us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Back over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, we began looking at the blessings. And then the Lord backed me up and said, you missed the main thing. The main thing is not the blessing. The main thing is the blesser. The God who gives the blessing. The Word of God said, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so the Bible said in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him." We went through all those phrases about us, looking at the blessing. But now I'm looking at the blesser, and we had a time there when we looked at his will. The last time we were together on this subject, we looked at his blood, and that's a blessing, ain't it, to know, amen, that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And tonight, we're looking at those phrases where it talks about his. And tonight I want to look at the phrase where it says his good pleasure. If you'll look at it in verse number 5 with me, the Bible said, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." I want to think about that thought tonight, his good pleasure. A lot of times we think about things that brings pleasure to us. But how often do we think about those things that bring pleasure to him? And I believe that we actually live in a society that's a pleasure-seeking society. That's all they want to do is be pleased and have leisure time and pleasure. But God, his pleasure, a little bit different. The Word of God, I'm going to give you some things by way of introduction here. In Psalms chapter 35, verse 27, said, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. You remember David when he went down to see the Goliath. He went down to check on his brethren. He didn't know what was going on with Goliath when he left home, but he got down there and he heard. And he asked a question. He said, is there not a cause? His good pleasure, Psalm 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. It pleases God to prosper his servants. Amen. And listen, that prosperity is not always financial. It's not always physical. You can see that in the Word of God with men like Job and men like David and men like the Apostle Paul. But beloved, he said we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth in his season, his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So God will prosper his servant, his good pleasure. The works of the Lord are great, Psalm 111 and verse number 2, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Psalm 147 and verse 10, he delighteth not in the strength of a horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. It's, beloved, it's not the externals that pleases God, but it's the internal. God said he's not impressed with the army. He's not impressed with the horses. He's not impressed with the legs of a man. But I tell you what God is impressed with, somebody that'll follow him and seek him with all their heart. Amen. And I believe that's what is important in pleasing God. The Lord taketh pleasure, the Bible said in Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Think about that for just a moment tonight. That pleases God when people fear him and that they hope in his mercy. You say, Pastor, is there any hope for America? Yes, there is, but it's in his mercy. Amen. The hope of America is not in the White House. The hope of America is in God's house. That God's people, my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God said he would have mercy. Say amen. He'd forgive our sin and he'd heal our land. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. And the Bible said he will beautify the meek with salvation. I wonder, beloved, listen. I don't know if anything in the world ever pleased me any more on this side of heaven than seeing somebody trust Jesus as their Savior. Well, I want to ask you this question. If it pleases a mortal man that much, how much does it please a Heavenly Father? Amen. To see somebody take Christ as their Savior. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13, the Bible said here, in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. I believe tonight that we go back to Brother Keith being with us on that Sunday morning. He talked about starting out in the back of that church back there at Trinity where Brother Ralph Sexton was the pastor. And God just kept on moving him up and moving him up. You know why? Because he wanted to please God. Say amen. That's all he wanted to do, was just do something to please God. And listen, I appreciate what the Lord has done in his life. But the Lord, it's just as pleasing to God. Listen, if God's called a man to be a plumber, amen, and that he does a good job at it, that pleases God. If he's preaching, that pleases God. If he's a carpenter, that pleases God. Just whatever God has called a person to do. We'll see a verse after a while, do all that you do to the glory of God. Amen. His good pleasure. I think it's important tonight to think about that. If we're going to bring glory to him, to God in the church by Christ Jesus, then it's going to be motivated out of pleasing the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. I think that's awesome, don't you? That God would call us and that God would want to fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness in our life.
In Revelation 4:11, you remember this is that scene in heaven. He said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure." I want you to think about that tonight. I may thank God tonight. He said he created it all, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Everything that God made, hallelujah tonight, was to be pleasing unto him. Amen. Now man comes along and messes that up. Amen. But thank God, God made that perfect creation. And then 1 Samuel 12 and verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Ain't that good? God, it pleased God to make you and I that are saved by the grace of God, the Bible said, his people. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. You remember when God told Solomon to ask, and he could have asked for riches. He could have asked for wealth. But he asked for wisdom. And what did the Bible say? It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked for this. The Bible said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. If we're going to bring glory to him in the church, we've got to be interested in pleasing him. Amen. And knowing that we're here for his good pleasure, and that everything he's made was for his good pleasure. I'm going to give you this tonight. Now you think about this. This will help us tonight. The Bible said over there in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, yet it pleased the Lord. We're talking about his good pleasure to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. The word of God said, when he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I got to thinking about this, and you know, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, because God knew that later it would please the Lord to bless us. But you and I ought to understand this tonight. He was the one that deserved the blessing, and we're the ones that deserve the bruising. Say amen. And yet he took our place on Calvary's cross. Amen. That we could be blessed, not only in time, but for all eternity. That blesses me tonight. I want to think about this. This is kind of the opposite side of the coin. All of that is his good pleasure. Here's a couple of things, a couple of verses that when God said they're opposite. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, he said, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? No. Our God, watch this now, saith the Lord, and not he that he should return from his ways and live. Isaiah 55 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. God, what the Bible used these words, he will abundantly pardon. Amen. God doesn't take any pleasure. In verse 8, chapter 18 of Ezekiel, verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live. That word turn, it means repent. Say amen. The Bible talks about repentance in Ezekiel 33 and verse number 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for while will you die, O house of Israel. I don't know about you tonight, but I see a God in heaven, amen, begging a people to get right with him, amen. Paul said over there in that text we were in Sunday, we beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And so tonight, beloved, God is wanting us to understand, listen, it's not about our good pleasure, it's about his good pleasure, amen. If we're going to bring him glory in the church, we need to be more interested in that that pleases God. You remember tonight, I'll give you a couple of things tonight I looked at this afternoon. How can we please God? Well, I believe, first of all, we need to please him by exalting his son. Brother Don, I believe you repeated this a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was you that I heard say that God will make much of the church that will make much of Jesus. I believe tonight if we don't make much of Jesus, we're missing it. Amen. You say, Pastor, where do you get that in the Scripture? You remember, beloved, when John the Baptist put Jesus under the water and he baptized him. You remember that? The Bible said there was a dove. The Spirit descended like a dove. There was a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And I believe tonight God is still well pleased. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I believe with all of my heart he wants to be lifted up, beloved, because he wants people to be saved. So we can please him by exalting and worshiping the Son of God. The Bible said in Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him. And here's where a lot of people miss it. And for him. Amen. It was not only created by him. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me. You can look over at little Landon tonight. You can look at our little grandchildren that are running around their knees. Amen. My little granddaughter helped Miss Eve rake grass today. We weed-eated the taters off the tater hills. And she, my little granddaughter got out there just sweating and with a rake. And she didn't. Miss Eve didn't ask her to help. And I thought I gave her $5, Brother John. I said, honey, I'm going to give you some money. You've worked hard. And I thought I'd give her $5. She come back and said, Papa, I got $6. I said, no, I meant to give you $5. She said, I got $6. I guess Papa can't count, amen. I thought I'd give her 5 ones, but I did give her all the ones that I had, amen. But anyway, I'm just telling you, beloved, them youngins was created by him. But listen to this, they were created for him. Amen. As much pleasure as they bring to me, they weren't created for me. They were created by him and created for him. And I believe, listen tonight, we can bring glory to God in the church. The Bible said he is before all things. And by him all things consist. I heard a preacher say one thing at one time. He said, God's the one. That consists, he's holding it together. And I'll tell you this, it ain't going to blow apart until he lets her go blow apart. Say amen. God's the one in control. And I thank God for that. He's before all things. By him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. How many's ever lived your life and he had the preeminence? How many's ever lived your life and he didn't have the preeminence? When he don't have the preeminence, he's not getting glory in the church. Say amen. But when he has the preeminence, when we come, I like what the Bible said there in one of the Gospels. I think they said it to Philip, I think. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Amen. They didn't come to see Philip. They didn't come to see John. They didn't come to see Nathaniel. They didn't come to see Nicodemus. They said, we need to see Jesus. We could see him. Amen. He had the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Think about that tonight. God set this thing up. Amen. It pleased God, the Father, that in Jesus all fullness would dwell. I believe we can exalt him and worship him and praise him and bring glory and honor to him and please him by exalting his Son. Secondly, tonight, by proclaiming the message of Calvary. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 18 tonight. Excuse me, chapter number 1 and verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. I'm going to tell you something. Listen. A preacher said this to me one time, Brother John. He wasn't a very old preacher. He looked at me, and he about my age, and this has been probably 15 years ago when he said this to me. You all have met him. I think he's been in our church, Brother Jimmy Nichols. Brother Jimmy's from up in Virginia. Brother Jimmy looked at me one day. We were on the road together, and he said, when you don't know what to preach, brother, he said, just take a text and run to Calvary. Amen. You say, Pastor, why would you mention that? Because I'm going to tell you, that pleases God. Amen. When the gospel's being preached. Watch what it said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Somewhere or another, Brother John, I think we've got the idea that God's people don't want to hear the preaching of the cross anymore. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It ought to be precious to us. It ought to be special to us. Amen. Well, said, tell me that story one more time. Say amen. It should never get old. It ought to be sweeter every time we hear the story of Calvary. The Word of God said it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. We'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? That's what we were talking about a while ago. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. I had a good time there on Sunday. I didn't even get back with my seed. I was able to give it away. On Monday, I was on a roll. I talked to the lady at the cashier counter in Johnson City. I'd been to the hospital, and I gave her one of them tracts that I wrote that my dad said, better than I deserve. It says on the front of it, how you doing? She asked me when I got up there, said, how you doing? I said, honey, I'd like for you to read this, would you? She didn't hesitate, Brother Don. She pushed it back across the counter and said, I don't believe in God. That's what she said. You know what I wanted to say in the flesh? God loves you so much that He mentioned you in the book of Proverbs. That's what I wanted to say, but I didn't. You say, Pastor, why would He mention her? The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If she'd asked me what verse, then I would have been in trouble, wouldn't it? Amen. No, I don't. I'm going to leave that door open. Maybe somebody can come along. But I tell you what, you mark down what I said on Sunday. The Word of God will not return void. That woman dies without God and stands at the great white throne judgment. God will let her see the day. She shoved the gospel message right back in the preacher's face. Amen. Didn't want to hear about Calvary. Didn't want to hear about salvation by proclaiming the message. Watch it now. The Bible said here, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world, which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. But that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and sanctification and righteousness and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I, brethren, came not to you in excellency of speech and wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We're talking about one of the most educated men that ever walked in shoe leather, Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He learned at the school at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a very intelligent man. But he said, my intelligence ain't going to get it done. My wisdom's not going to get it done. It's going to take a power of God to get it done. He said, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That cross, beloved, is something that pleases God to be magnified over and over again. We can also, beloved, listen, please God and bring good pleasure to Him by just taking Him at His word. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? I was thinking about Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is. That's the first thing. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. I tell you tonight, listen, if my young'un needed something or one of my grandchildren needed something, to save their life, and it was in the house, and I couldn't find it. How many believe I'd be diligently seeking for it? Say amen. I thought about this. I won't be dogmatic about it. That woman that's swept the house over there in Luke chapter 15 looking for that coin. How many of them did she have? How many did she have? She had 10. How many did she lose? 1. Well, I ain't going to be dogmatic about this, but 1 out of 10 would have been a tithe. The Bible said she swept diligently until she found it. Say amen. She wasn't like a little boy walking down the road flipping 2 quarters up in the air. Somebody said, "What's that, son?" He said, "Well, one of them's for Sunday school and the other one's for ice cream." He's flipping them quarters up and catching them. About that time, one of the quarters fell down, hit the street, rolled off in the storm drain. Little boy said, "Well, Lord, there went your quarter." Amen. A whole lot of it goes to the beach and don't come back. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God is pleased with our faith. He's pleased when we ask Him for wisdom. I talked about that a little bit a while ago with Solomon. He's pleased, beloved, when we share the gospel with unbelievers. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense. I guess it's a good thing I didn't say that to that woman, ain't it? That would have been offensive. Say amen. Neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles nor the church of God, even as I please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. By giving to others, we can please God in a time of need. You remember, we can't just, the Bible said in James, if a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. He said, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So we said a while ago that without faith it's impossible to please God. But according to the Scripture, a real faith will produce works in a person's life. We don't believe in a work salvation, but thank God we believe the Bible. And the Bible preaches and teaches there's a salvation that works. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 are precious. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's precious. But verse 10 is just as precious. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, it doesn't matter what we're doing. We ought to do our best at it. Say amen. And you know what God's doing in your life and in my life? He's doing His best. Amen. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, giving to others. The Bible talked about in Hebrews chapter 13, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which sacrifices God is well pleased. How many remembers in Ephesians where it said, let him that steal no more? How many remembers that? A lot of people don't know this is in the Bible. It said, working with his hands, the thing which is good. God said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands to that which is good. Now watch this now, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's what the Word of God said. In other words, beloved, listen, yeah, we're supposed to do what we do for our family. We're supposed to work with our hands. We're supposed to do what we do. And I'm going to tell you what, it pleases God. Listen to me. Come in here on Wednesday night and give of your time and give more money so that somebody else can hear about Jesus and the mission program. I'm telling you tonight, it pleases God, beloved, when we do what we do, not just for ourselves or our family, but to help somebody else along the way. It's a blessing. It pleases God when we submit to authority. The Bible said, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I believe that's important. But listen, it's not just for the children to obey their parents down here. It's for the children of God to obey their Heavenly Father as well. It pleases God when we submit to Him. And the Bible said, whatsoever you ask you, receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful? I know it's not true. I doubt if anybody would stand up and say it's true. But Jesus was able to say, I do always those things which please the Father. You and I are flesh. We're contending with a battle. And you and I, if we'd be honest, do not always do those things which please the Lord. Because the Bible said sometimes it's not what we do, it's what we fail to do. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Look at Psalm 69:30, and I'm wrapping up tonight. We can please him and talk about his good pleasure and bringing glory to him in the church when we praise him for all things. Psalm 69 verse 30 said, I'll praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. You ever want God to show up? I can give you a recipe. Just start thanking him. Just start thanking him. I'm going to tell you what, it'll make a peanut butter cracker taste better. When you take just a minute and thank God for it, and Brother Wayne, realize that there's moms and dads and children in the world everywhere that's looking through a garbage can and will never find a clean peanut butter cracker like that to eat. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm telling you, beloved, God said, I'll praise the name. David said, I'll praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Watch this now. Better than an ox or a bullock. I knew that scripture over there where it said to obey is better than sacrifice. I knew that scripture, but I missed this one. God said here, this also shall please the Lord. A song magnifying him with thanksgiving pleases the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Watch this now. Listen to me tonight. If we'd understand this tonight, we bring God glory in the church. He's not so much interested in what we have. He's not interested in yours. He's interested in you. Amen. They were taking up an offering, and I heard this story. I won't get it exactly right. But the Indian in the service, he didn't have anything to give. So he came up to the communion table, and he put the offering plate on the ground and stood in it. I just give him me. You know what? God's pleased with that. God's pleased with that. The Bible said, listen, in verse 32, I'll praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox and a bullock that hath horns and hooves. Listen to verse 32. The humble shall see this and be glad. It's going to have an impact on others around us. And your heart shall live that seek God. In verse 15 of Hebrews 13, and I'm finished. By him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice of praise to God. Listen to this word. Continually. Brother Don, you're a lot more spiritual than me. You always just feel like praising God, don't you? I got me a nut. He's chuckling. Amen. You can't be as good a friend to Arthur and as some of us are, say amen, and always feel like praising God. But this is what the Bible said. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Here comes again, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. If we want God to get glory, I'll tell you, we need to recognize, beloved, it's not just about pleasing us. It's about his good pleasure. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, that helps me. Amen. It's about his good pleasure. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for coming this way this evening.